Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Several years ago, there was a commercial on TV, and this commercial was a Capital One commercial. Do you remember What's in Your Wallet? I guess it's probably still on. We just don't watch commercials anymore. But What's in Your Wallet is a big comment. And it led to a message that I heard. And I heard this message a long time ago, before the start of the church, actually. And it just really made an impact in my life. Because if you pull your wallets out, there was a day and time you'd pull your wallets out, and that's where you held all your pictures. Now, we're not in that day and age anymore. But we're in a day and age of a cell phone. Y'all get your phones out. Get your phones out right now, not to take a picture, but to look at your pictures. Pull out one of your favorite pictures right now. I want you to look at that picture. One of your favorite pictures on your phone, and I want you to show it to people around you. Now, this can't last forever, so it's got to be one of your favorite pictures, and I want you to say, look at this picture. Is that not the coolest picture? I love it. Caleb's got my picture on his phone. Yeah, show it to everybody. Go ahead. Everybody needs to see that. There you go. Everybody show your one of your favorite pictures. One of your favorite pictures. And now everybody go, aw. Let me see if I can do this. We've been working on this. I want to broadcast one of my favorite ones up on the screen tonight. Show you one of the favorite pictures I have in my phone. Here we go. Get your picture. For those of you who don't know, my granddaughter celebrates a year old tomorrow. It's a great day in our lives. It's a fun time. And I know there's other birthdays this week, but that one right there is the one that just impacted me the most. Since I'm the one talking, I thought I'd share that. And then in a few months, we've got several in our church that obviously, we've got a few in our church that are going to be celebrating another birthday here in a few months. So pretty exciting news. If you have been on Facebook, you've already seen that picture because they took that to celebrate something that's going to be happening in a few more months. So Ashlyn and Josh will be having another baby. More importantly, I'm having another grandchild. So that's a great thing. James and Carolyn, would you agree with me there? Yeah, that's the most important thing. I used to hear people say, if we could have just started with the grandkids, we would have. I get that. It's awesome, and we're having a great time. Well, as you pulled your phone out and you looked at these pictures, now quit looking through them. I see some of y'all still looking through all your pictures. All right, pay attention here. I got something to talk about. As I was pulling my phone out this week, I was amazed at how the new iPhone update, I don't know if any of y'all got that, but the new iPhone update will pull a picture that you took a year ago and put it on your screen. They copied after Facebook because Facebook does the same thing. You know, your memories that'll pop up on Facebook and show you something that happened a year or two or 3 years ago. And as you see those pictures, here's what I want you to understand. As you look at those pictures and see what you see on there, it's not usually a picture that you look at and go, huh, that's not good. Usually the picture that it pulls up is a great picture. Mine just pulled up one of a deer I killed last year. Well, that's just motivating. You know, I mean, pictures that you have in your phone or maybe in your wallet or wherever you keep them are important to you. How many of y'all have pictures in your house? See, I mean, you have pictures in your house. You don't put up a picture in your house that you look at it every time and go, ugh. No, you have a picture in your house that just reminds you of family, of friends. We have them on our refrigerator. At Christmas, we have them all over the house. I mean, it's just, we have pictures everywhere. And by the way, y'all are going to have to look at that the whole sermon because we made that our slide today, and I love that. But pictures you carry in your life are important to you. Is that not right? Would everybody agree with that? So we have them in our home. We have them in our purse, not women, hopefully. We have them in our offices, and they're important to us because we have taken that. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to ask this question, but I'll just kind of throw it out there. Here's another type of picture that is important to some. Selfies. No. I didn't really take one. But we keep pictures and we'll take them. And I mean, we're going to get the best angle so that our chin's not going. We're going to do everything we can to get the best picture that we can get, because as we view it and other people see it, we want it to be the best it can be. See, that's the thing about pictures. We value our pictures. Well, I want to read scripture tonight, Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, what's that have to do with pictures? Well, hold on. We got to understand what Jesus' attitude was. And I want to illustrate this through a Bible story in 1 Samuel. And if you have your Bibles, I want to turn there. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. A very impactful story several years ago that changed the way I think. Because see, I want to think like Jesus does, because the scripture asks that. You got to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Everybody here say, well, sure, I get that. You got to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. That's the first point you got to get tonight. You got to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Come on, you got to have the attitude of Jesus. All right, so when you get that, then you got to understand that he had a certain attitude, and I want to illustrate that through a Bible story tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 says, after Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel, and he went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfold, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. You got to love how the Bible's just straight. And I bet there wasn't petitions there. Well, there was rock walls. And so they went in, and he goes in to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. Now, Michelle and I have been over in that part of the country, and it's amazing how you, and I was explaining this to our Leaders Academy students this week. You know, when you drive down 65 and you see these large cliffs of rocks, that they've been blasted out by man. But in Jerusalem, about 35 miles from there, there's all of this, these big rock walls. And inside of these rock walls, there's tons of caves. So it just happened that he went in to the exact cave that David had chose to hide in. I don't think it was an accident. I think it was a divine appointment for that. You go, a divine appointment for someone to go in and relieve himself, and I happen to be in that same cave. Now, obviously, that wasn't what you're needing to get from this story. David and his men are hiding in there, and you got to understand that Paul goes in thinking that nobody else is there. David and his men are further back in the cave. Now's your opportunity, verse 4, David's men whispered to him. Today the Lord is telling you. You ever had someone tell you that the Lord's telling you something? The Lord's telling you something. And here's what it was. Today the Lord's telling you, and his men said, I'll certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward by the intent of the men that were helping him think about this, and he cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. Verse 5, but then David's conscience began bothering him because he'd cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. Now, I would have added right there, who's trying to hunt me down and kill me? But David said, Lord forbid that I should do this to the Lord, to my Lord, the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him. He didn't say, hey, Saul, hey, you jerk. Hey, what are you doing to me? He called out and he said, my Lord, the king. That's what David said. He addressed him, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Now, I think about that story, and I think I would have wrote it different. Not wrote it, but if I'd have been the one they were writing about, it wouldn't be written quite like that. That's the sad part, but here's the thing. David gave us a story that tells the attitude of Christ. That's what David did. David said, here's what the attitude of Christ looks like. David snuck up, and cut off a part of his robe, and didn't attack the Lord's anointed one. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. What picture are you carrying in your wallet of your boss, of your leaders? So what picture are you carrying? David just said, here's the picture I have. But all the guys were saying, you need a different picture in your head about this guy. In fact, here's what the Lord says you ought to have. Go up there and kill him. See, there's an attitude that we walk in oftentimes and pictures we carry. Now, as we're talking about photos, pictures are being taken all the time, especially in today's world. Good grief. You ever seen the likes of pictures? We have thousands of them on a terabyte hard drive from years gone by now. Thousands of them. Now, if we'd have been developing them, I'd have had to get another job. But we'd take thousands upon thousands of pictures so we can get the exact right one. And here's what I want you to know about. For every really good picture you get, you deleted how many? Come on, for every selfie you posted, how many did you go, that one wasn't capturing what I really look like? See, that picture I took right there is not the one I'm going to use. The one I put up there, Ashlyn took tons of pictures that day. That's the one we chose. That's the one I chose. I said, I want that picture. I want that picture because that's the one that when I pull my phone out and I show everybody around me, here's my granddaughter. You know what I didn't show? I didn't show any of those pictures, but I got them. But you know what I did? Delete, 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 delete. Here's what I want you to see. There are pictures that you paint every day in your mind of everybody you're around. In church, at school, at home, at everywhere you're at, you'll get a picture in your mind of someone, of a parent, of someone on staff with you, someone that's a leader, someone that's at your job that you work with every day, and you get this picture, and what you do is you may not put it in your phone, but you carry it around with you, and what I'm telling you tonight, if you don't hear anything else I say, some of y'all need to delete some pictures out of what you've got in your head. See, you got the wrong picture. Pictures being taken all day long. And I mean, as you're going along in life, you just carry them. Tonight I ask you, what picture of your boss do you carry with you? What picture? Because your boss can't be all bad. Come on, there's got to be some good in who you work for. Which picture do you carry of your spouse? I can tell you, I've been around people for a very short time and hear them start talking about their spouse, and I can tell you what picture they carry of their spouse. And they need to delete that. See, that I understand your spouse messed up. I understand that they didn't say things maybe the way they should have. But what picture are you carrying? What picture are you carrying of your spouse? I mean, you've got to understand that words and actions, what pictures? Are you carrying a picture of how bad they snored last night? Or how hairy their leg is when your foot reaches over and touches them? I won't go any further. You'll have to ask Michelle the rest of that story. Now I might as well tell you because y'all going to be wondering the rest of the sermon. Her and Melanie ended up sharing the same bed. Guys don't do that, but girls don't have a problem with. So they shared the same bed. And Michelle came home and she said, I said, how is Melanie? Snoring, you know, and blah, blah, blah. No, it was great. It was a wonderful night. She goes, my foot reached over and touched her leg. And she said, it was smooth. On accident, it wasn't on purpose, so sorry. The whole story. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not shaving my legs. So, it's part of it. But here's the thing. We all carry pictures in life. Well, what picture are you carrying of your friends? More importantly, what pictures are you carrying of your enemies? Come on, what picture are you carrying of your enemy? Saul had gotten so jealous, he'd let a picture of David run his mind. Jealousy, frustration, and Saul had a picture of David, and there was a time where Saul had a really good picture of David that he was carrying around, made him king and made him all these things to where he was running things. And I mean, Saul had really entrusted David with so much and then realized all the people were liking him more than him. Next thing you know, he's frustrated. Saul's frustrated and jealous. I got to get this guy killed. He's going to be stepping into my place. I can't handle that. And so Saul ended up changing his picture That's supposed to be in his head. But you know what? David didn't lose his picture. He knew who God had anointed, and he said, that's the picture I've got to carry. Saul needed a good killing. I mean, really, you think about that. Sometimes you might think that about someone. They just need a good killing. I mean, after all, they were on the run trying to keep themselves from being killed by this guy. The attitude should be kill or be killed. Come on, kill or be killed. You can hear him. David. David goes out and calls to Saul. And I bet that Saul's kind of going, are you kidding me? He didn't kill me. What David was saying and what he said is, Saul, can't you see that I could have killed you? Can't you see that I could have killed you? David, also I can think that he was saying, my hand didn't touch you, Saul. Because the picture I carry of you is you're the anointed one that God called into this office. You're the one that God put there. What picture are you carrying of everybody in your life, in your mind? To have people carry a positive picture of you, you're going to have to carry some positive pictures of others. Because I'm just telling you, the more you communicate that you don't have a good picture of someone, the more you'll find people aren't carrying a positive picture of you. And there will still be pictures that are carried by people because people are people that aren't right. But you don't live saying kill or be killed. They're killing me, I'm going to kill them. See, we've got to have the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2:5, when it says that, it means we've got to get our attitude from Jesus, not from everyone around us. Here's the thing. Get your picture from God. How does he see someone else? That's what David said. I see how God, he called him the anointed one. See, he called Saul anointed. Well, he had to look at Saul through God's eyes. Come on, there are times you got to look at your spouse through God's eyes. There are times you're going to have to look at your boss with God eyes. And then you carry the right picture. You carry the right picture. Having the mind of Christ means you have the mind of Christ. And Christ has a picture of people. I want you to see this. In a very short time in your life, the picture that you carry will start affecting everything you do. And here's the thing. It's not the positive pictures in a lot of ways that's going to shape your life. It's the negative ones that you can't get out of there. Well, how do I get them out of there? I don't know. I wish that there was just a little wire we could pull down and push delete. We could never see it again. But let me tell you, the only way you can do that is overshadow that picture with the right one. Have you ever taken a picture on your wall and you got new ones and you put the new one in front of the old one? I want this new picture in here. I want this new picture. That's what my mom did every year. She didn't want to lose her. She put the new one on top of an old one. So when we needed to see them, you could just pull it out and here's the last 10 years. You know? What qualities in the picture did David have? And I want to talk about some qualities tonight that maybe will help you with this. David had the qualities that he was looking for in the picture that he had to get the quality in his mind to know what he had to do to get the right picture. He had to implement mercy and he had to implement some kindness, even to his enemy. See, Saul was treating David unfairly. His jealousy had led him to trying to take David's life unjustly. David was provided the perfect opportunity to kill him. A man who had clearly put himself as his enemy. Come on, every one of us has someone who's done that. They've clearly put themselves in direct opposition to you. You better watch that picture doesn't deter from what God sees that person as. This made such a difference in the way I responded to my leadership at work. When I heard this the first time, everything I did started going, whoa, wait a minute here. He had to keep his view correct. The second thing, forgiveness. He had to have the quality of forgiveness. To have the right picture, he had to forgive even his enemy. Saul was certainly not seeking David's forgiveness on this occasion. Would you agree? See, Saul wasn't, hey, David, would you forgive me? I'm sorry, I'm trying to kill you. That wasn't what was happening. He's looking for him. But David still refused to hold Saul's evil actions against him in his view of him. That's hard to even comprehend for me. But we're talking about a Christ attitude, a Christ attitude. He wasn't holding a grudge. He wasn't looking how he was being treated unfairly. It amazes me, young people today, that's just not fair. Unfair, unfair. Yeah, it's a wrong picture. It's a wrong picture. You better change the picture you're thinking about who treated you unfair. God's looking at them different. You might want to delete that file. So you got to see how God sees them. He wasn't holding that grudge and taking advantage of an opportunity that was clearly to everybody else given that he could have taken care of this and ended it once and for all. Number three, David was tenderhearted. David's tender heart is clearly on display. Compassion towards a helpless enemy. His conscience bothered him. Even when he just took a piece of Saul's robe. I shouldn't have done that. In a dark cave. I shouldn't have done that. Number four, he was respectful towards God's choice. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. He was respecting God's choice. I want to get into more of what the Bible says on that here in a second. He called Saul God's anointed. He knew that God was responsible for placing Saul where Saul was placed. And that's what is more important than anything in that he knew how God saw him. And he knew that God will take care of this in due time, and it's not my time to take care of it, it's God's timing. God's timing. See, all these character qualities that David demonstrate in Engedi are qualities that God expects us to have today. The first one, I want to give some scripture. David, being kind and merciful. Matthew 5:43. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture here really quick, and you might want to write it down, or if you can follow along, that's fine. Matthew 5:43. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. This is Jesus, the mind of Christ. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Ooh, that's a tough one. But that's the attitude of Christ. The second thing we talked about, we're also to be forgiving, even to our enemies. Matthew 6:14 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You can't hold grudges and be in the right standing with God. You can't have the right picture of someone you're holding a grudge against. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you got to do the same thing. So also should you. You got to do that. Number three, we're to have tender hearts. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. Be kind. You ever told your kids, be nice? Be nice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, it says he had compassion for them. That was Jesus. He saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Hear me tonight. How frustrated do you get when someone doesn't act right? Come on, when they don't act right. My next question is, are they a Christian? And then most of the time, the answer is no. How can you expect someone who doesn't live by a moral code to operate in a moral code? You can't. You can't. I mean, you. So what do? Well, I just get mad. And I hold a picture in my head about them. What I'm telling you now is change that picture and understand they need Jesus just like you once did. We got to start having some compassion for people who don't think right. We got to have compassion when their attitude is wrong. They're doing it wrong, and know this. We say this. They're helpless without Jesus. So why are you experiencing them or expecting them to be helpful? They can't be. They got to see Jesus, and they're not going to see Jesus if you don't have the attitude of Jesus. The attitude of Jesus means we paint the right picture of people who are doing it wrong. Now, there are baby Christians who still don't look real like Jesus. Young people, children, adolescents, youth, the smaller in age you get, the less they look like an adult. Right? Why are you expecting someone who just got saved to look like they're a mature Christian for 30 years? You got to understand that if we're going to have the attitude of Christ, we have to recognize where people are and help them succeed and have the attitude of Christ and get the right picture in our head about them. We are also to be respectful and submissive to those who are in positions of authority. Well, Pastor, would you explain who you're talking about there? I will. Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13. This is tough. Everybody hear me tonight. Let me give a precursor before I read this. You submit as long as you're not submitting to sin. So we're not going to submit when the submission means that we have to go against the word. The word's our authority. But if it's just an attitude of, well, I don't want to do that, let me read Romans 13 and let's get an understanding of how we need to view our authority. Verse 1 of Romans 13 said, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. It doesn't say, and you punish them. It says, they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing it right, but in those who are doing it wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Would you like to drive down the highway and quit going, oh, is that a cop? Follow the speed limit. Michelle's going, preach it and hear what you're preaching. Do what is right and they will honor you. Verse 4, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes. For these same reasons, government workers need to be paid. This isn't Ashley, this is the Bible. They are serving God in what they do. Verse 7, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Whew, okay, now we're past that, but did you hear it? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go through it all. That's just pretty plain spoken. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. What's the picture that you have of your Sunday school teacher? What's the picture you have of your youth pastor? What's the picture you have of your pastor? What's the picture you have of your worship leader? See, what picture do you have for those that are your spiritual leaders? Do you have the right picture? If you don't, then there needs to be some deleting done. And you got to get the view that God has of them, and that's why I'm reading this scripture. David's behavior in En-Gedi only helps us understand further why he was indeed a man after God's own heart. Is that not cool? I love that story. Philippians 4, verse 8, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. This will help you to delete some pictures. Come on. Fix your thoughts in the right place. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Let me add a name. Think of the things that your boss does that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting them into practice, all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Whatever things are lovely, pure, and of good rapport, meditate on those things. Come on, we get the wrong meditating going in on the pictures that we paint in our head. And we'll meditate on those and we'll just stir them up and stew them up. And we're going to paint that picture. And I'm telling you, every time that picture gets messed up, it will lead you to wrong actions. Every time. If you don't have the picture that God has of that person in your mind, trust me, it's going to take you to a place that you're going to be in a position that Saul was in, and you're going to be trying to kill, attack, or hurt someone that God placed in your life and gave you the opportunity to have the right picture. Come on, are you going to have the picture Saul had of David, or are you going to have the picture David had of Saul? Well, I'd rather have, because David had every reason in the natural to have that picture towards Saul. He'd done more. Saul had done more to David than David had done to Saul. David had just helped. But the pictures were messed up. Do you have some wrong pictures tonight? Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Do you know God will do that for you if you'll ask him towards someone? He'll change that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we're to have the mind of Christ. Bad pictures of people come about very easily. They do. I'm just telling you, because people are people, and bad pictures can be painted real quick. And there are times that each and every one of us, all of us in here, have painted the wrong picture in our head towards somebody. Come on. Everybody here has done that. And tonight, my encouragement for you is get the right picture of your teachers, of your parents, of your friends, of policemen. Come on, get. There's a whole bunch of organizations that are just all in all out against authority. And they're having riots about it. They've got the wrong picture. Because one or two people may have done it wrong. Now they've painted everybody as that. Wrong picture. They need to get their phone out and delete some things. Come on, get the right picture of your wife. Get the right picture of your husband. Get the right picture of your pastor. Get the right picture of your siblings, your coworkers, your youth. Come on, let me just say, to make sure this doesn't turn wrong here, David was smart enough to be hiding from Saul. He knew the picture that Saul had of him. Do you know the picture others have of you? Are people hiding from you? You could have talked about everything tonight. You had to have to say that. Are people hiding from you? If they are, and you know other people have the wrong picture of you, what are you doing to correct their picture? You know what David did? David came out and hollered at him, my Lord, my King. And he bowed down. He said, I want you to know I have the right picture of you. What are you doing to make sure people have the right picture of you? See, you just can't. Yes, we've got to be responsible for having the right picture in our own head of people. But what are you doing to produce the right picture in others that they have of you? Boy, that's a big one. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Come on, the desire of our heart is to follow Jesus. That's it. The desire of the hearts of God's people is to have the attitude of Christ. And I gave you just a little tool tonight, hopefully and prayerfully, that you can go home and ponder. As you're going to bed tonight, think about what you think about people. Find the pictures that aren't painted right and say, God, tonight, I'm going to change this. This is not the right picture. I got to have this of my grandkids. There's some pictures that need to be deleted on how we're thinking. We got to have the right picture. Bow your heads.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.